B-Mitch and Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia and down in South Florida. And when you get to South Florida, you got to kind of realize who runs these towns, this town, Miami, Lauderdale, everything in between. And a guy like Kim Bocamper is absolutely one of the guys that runs this town. A linebacker and pro bowler for the Dolphins, member of that Killer Bees defense, all of that. Then he became, I mean, he is a star when it comes to being the sports guy at the CBS affiliate down here for a long time. Does radio and television for the Dolphins now. Has his own podcast, Out to Pasture, which is a really funny name. Bo, what's up, man? Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate having you guys here down here for this week. Was it hot enough for you?
Yesterday was cooking.
Yeah, it
dude.
Cooled off a little bit today, though. I'll take it.
I know you get hot temperatures up there. I remember playing up there. I think we opened up in D.C. in 84 against the then Redskins and Joe Theismann and those guys after they beat us 2 years before in the Super Bowl. And it may have been one of the hottest games I've ever played in my life.
Wow. You know, we were talking about that yesterday, dude, that the Redskins-Dolphins rivalry, if you consider, I mean, two of the more iconic Super Bowls in NFL history were 72 when the Dolphins beat Washington to go undefeated, yep. And then in the Super Bowl that Washington beat Miami with that fourth down run from John Riggins. Did that register at all yesterday with the Commanders in there for joint practices?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, you know, obviously the uniforms are different, but the colors are similar. And, you know, it's funny, during my career, I played down here for 10 years, and it seemed like you get rivals coming in. You know, early on in my career, we played Minnesota a lot, and then kind of midway in my career was the Chargers that we played a lot. And then it got to be in the 80s, the Redskins, the then Redskins that we played a lot. And so, and you know, there were always good games, always good, you know, always good teams. And but that's... That Washington rivalry, it still kind of sticks in my craw. It's you know, mm-hmm. you know, I've told people, you know, it's great going to a Super Bowl. It's horrible going to a Super Bowl and losing. So we lost against the Redskins and Theismann and Riggins and the Hogs and all those guys, and which was a really good football team. But one of the things that I have a hard time even watching the Super Bowls now, because I remember losing the Super Bowl and that feeling doesn't feel good. It's still, I'm 69 years old, and it stabs me in the back like it was just yesterday.
You know what? There are games I played and I remember the same thing. And I don't know, I guess athletes that go through it, some things you never let go.
No. I have a hard time during Super Bowl week because they're running replays and, you're thinking about games, and like if I see a replay of that game, I immediately turn it off. I can't even watch it, you know.
See, I go all the way back to college. You were mentioning Louisiana Tech earlier. I wanted to beat you up because I hate Louisiana Tech.
Because you lost to them.
Oh, man, we lost. They had some linebackers. I thought they had extra linebackers on the field. Everywhere I went to run, they were there. I'm serious.
Bo, what do you think of this Dolphins team? I mean, obviously there is a ton of speed. Tyreek Hill's, I mean, pretty damn unstoppable. But they also lost a lot from that D-line.
Yeah, well, you know, Christian Wilkins was a big loss for that football team. You know, and I was a big advocate for keeping him. I thought he was the heart and soul of the defense. And he and Zach Sealer, and now Sealer's still here. But they were, you know, these guys in you know, they were best friends. They were never apart from each other. They talk on the football field. They talk on the bench when they'd come off the field. And so, you know, they get that relationship where, you know, you said, you know, sometimes when you play somebody that you're close with, you have a relationship where you don't have to talk to them on the field and they know exactly what you think. Give them a look and you know exactly what they're thinking. And so they had that. And so now, you know, Wilkins goes out to the Raiders, and Zach's still here, but he's going to have to try to carve out their relationship with three or four new guys that they brought in. And it's a rotation that they're going to use here for Anthony Weaver's defense. And so I don't know if they're going to be able to, get to that same level. But that's what it's going to be. And then, you know, the one guy they lost too that really doesn't get talked about much is Andrew Van Ginkle, who went up to Minnesota. You know, he was a big part of that defense and kind of an unsung hero there. And guy didn't, you know, he didn't demand much attention and didn't really get a lot of attention. But, you know, he was almost as important as Wilkins setting in the edge and rushing the passer and just doing the dirty work. And so they're going to have to replicate the loss of those two guys. But I think Anthony Weaver with his scheme is going to be a little different. And I kind of like what he's doing up there. He's kind of using five guys to morph to a four-man line into a, you know, down to a 3-4 kind of a look and do some of those things. So I like the addition of him, and I think that's going to help that defense kind of cover up for the losses of Wilkins and Van Ginkle that went away in free agency.
When Van Ginkle, if you remember, had the pick six against Washington last year, where he damn near took the ball off Sam Howell's hand.
Well, he threw it straight to him.
Right.
but like, when you look at their offense, like, I was looking at them yesterday, and you watch them, like, most teams are very vanilla in the preseason.
Yeah.
Their base is way beyond vanilla.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they're, if you want to talk ice cream, it's like going to Baskin-Robbins 32 flavors, you know?
Right.
You can go to places and they got vanilla and chocolate, and this team's got a lot more than that. I mean, you know, and it's funny with Mike McDaniel, you know, he's in his third year here. I can see him every year he's been different, you know, and his offense. I talked to him last week, and he says, you know, from the time I got here to now, this defense has changed 30% from then. And so, you know, he's one of those guys. You know, he's like the mad scientist in the lab, trying to cook something up different. And so he's making changes, and he sees what works. You know, most coaches see what works, and they do more to it, and then they see what they don't work, and they put it out. But he kind of creates a lot of, you know, he creates situations with the speed that he's got. Where somebody's going to be open on every play. And if the quarterback can hit him on that timing, the big plays are going to come. And so, but I think this year, you know, contrary to what a lot of people think about Mike, we talked to him about this a little bit last week, was that, you know, he considers himself a run guy. He considers himself offensively a run-oriented guy. And he said it just so happened after his first year when he started going back and looking at the numbers, he found out that he was a pass guy, right? And yeah. At least during that course of that year. So he's trying to get back to that, you know, that that run pass, you know, being more of a run pass even offense. And I think you see it. You know, they picked the kid Jalen Wright out of Tennessee and put him in that backfield with a bunch of other speed guys with Mostert and all these guys. You know, H.A. Chan and these guys, so they got a bunch of speed in that room, but he gives them a little bit of punch. You know, he gives them a little bit of that muscle coming in the middle to run the game. So I would think that, you know, just my opinion is I think this team is going to be a little more balanced, and it's going to rely a little bit more on the run game to affect the offense. They brought in a tight end in Jonnu Smith. They had no touchdowns out of the tight ends last year. I think that's going to change this offense, especially down in the red zone. So he's changed the offense around, brought in some players, but speed's the name of the game here. I mean, this is a speedy offense, speedy defense from on both sides of the ball. They just got, you know, the talk down here during the Olympics was which four guys would you put on the 100 meter relay on the 100 meter relay. Seriously. for these guys, and you know, you got Tyreek, you got Mostert. You got Achan, you got Schwartz, you got Mostert, you got, you know, and you could pick and choose three or four other guys that would do a pretty good job if they went in the 4x100 in the Olympics, you know. So that's the kind of speed they got.
Bo, thank you so much, man. We really enjoyed this, and we're going to try to get up to the restaurant, man. Thank you.
All right. My pleasure. Take care, guys.
All right, man. Take care.
We'll see you tomorrow night at the game. That is Kim Bo Camper. Check out his podcast, Out to Pasture.